Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Harold Wong and Jeff Woolsey are back for another episode, and in today's show, they discuss Microsoft's free and fully supported Hyper-V Server 2012. Tune in as they chat about what it is, what's included, and why you need to download this product today. They also touch upon various scenarios in which you would want to use it, as well as what free tools are available to help you manage it. Harold, the mic is yours.
Welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio and Virtualization and Cloud Experts Cafe. I'm Harold Wong with Microsoft, and with me today I have Jeff Woolsey. And so I'm going to go ahead and let Jeff introduce himself, even though I don't believe he really needs an introduction. But Jeff, real quick, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, thanks, Harold. I'm Jeff Woolsey. I'm a Principal Program Manager in the Windows Server Cloud Division. I focus on Hyper-V and private cloud, and again, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and thank you, Jeff, for carving some more time out of your super, super busy schedule to talk to us about the topic today is Hyper-V Server 2012, right? The
free version. Yes.
So I'm very excited about it. I know we've had this particular free version around for a little bit, but we're getting a lot of questions, right? So I was hoping to just take a few minutes and delve into like scenarios and then how to manage it. And if there's any other tidbits of information and tips that you can give everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Harold. I really appreciate the opportunity. So let's take a step back for just a minute because folks listening may not understand what we're talking about. So let me kind of explain this one. Hyper-V Server is the virtualization platform that nobody seems to know about, but everybody seems to be downloading. So let me tell you what it is. First of all, we have Windows. Hyper-V actually exists in many forms. In Windows Server, Hyper-V shipped in Server 2008, Server 2008 R2, and now we've shipped it in Windows Server 2012. We've also included it as a capability in Windows 8 Client. So if you deploy Windows 8 Client and you have hardware that's capable, you can enable Hyper-V and you can create virtual machines, you can deploy virtual machines, and you can author them on your laptop or your tablet or your desktop, and you can deploy those on server. In addition, we have another way that Hyper-V has been available, and this is actually also the third major release. It's called Microsoft Hyper-V Server. Let me say that one more time. It's called Microsoft Hyper-V Server. Now, this is a standalone version of Hyper-V. So let me be very clear. This is just Hyper-V. Okay? There's a lot of confusion about this, and my apologies, because everybody, you know, thinks, well, this is Windows Server, right? You're talking about the feature in Server. No, I'm actually talking about just a standalone version of Hyper-V. And what it is just Hyper-V. So, for example, when you think about, you know, just the Hyper-V capabilities, so I want to be able to create VMs, I want to be able to start-stop VMs, I want to be able to live migrate VMs, these are all capabilities built into Hyper-V Server 2012. And yes, we have released a brand new version of Hyper-V Server, and it's called Microsoft Hyper-V Server 2012. And let me be very 100% clear, it is free. There is no charge. It is a completely free download. And I know a lot of people are probably just are listening going, that doesn't make any sense. I've never heard of this. What is he talking about? This is a feature in Server. Again, this is a completely standalone product. Now, from a feature...
By the way, go download it, right? Just do a search for Microsoft Hyper-V Server 2012, and you will find the link. And it is free. Okay, sorry.
No, that's quite all right. And let me explain what I mean. So if you go and download Hyper-V Server, what is it? Well, first of all, it's an ISO. You'll download an ISO file, burn it to a DVD. Okay, then you turn on your system, you put in your DVD, and you install it. It installs on your system. This is not, you know, again, you don't have to buy Windows Server. You don't have to buy Windows 8. This is something that installs directly on your bare metal. And when you install it, you'll see it'll install very quickly because there's very little to install. It's just the Hyper-V components. We include a wide range of drivers in there to support a broad support of hardware out there from motherboards, chipsets, fiber channel cards, etc. So a lot of the footprint is due to drivers and things like that. But basically, you install this, and then when you install Hyper-V Server, lo and behold, you log in for the first time, and you're going to see a command line. And you're going to go, what is this? Where's the start menu? Well, there's none of that. This is just a command line. And the whole goal of Hyper-V Server is to provide you the Hyper-V infrastructure. And the goal is quite simple with Hyper-V Server. The goal is you install it on the metal, and you configure it for remote management, and then you manage it elsewhere. So I have Hyper-V, for example. I have both Windows Server Hyper-V running in my office, and I also have some machines running the Microsoft Hyper-V Server in my office. And literally, all I do is I install it on the metal, I join it to my domain, get the networking configured, and then I'm done. I don't ever touch the box again. I go to my laptop, where I'm either running System Center Virtual Machine Manager, or I'm running the Hyper-V Manager. But I never touch the box. I never go to Hyper-V Server. I don't manage anything. To be very clear, that's the whole goal of Hyper-V Server. You don't create VMs on it. You don't monitor VMs on it locally. You don't do anything at the box. The whole goal is we give you the platform to run on the machine, and then you go ahead and manage it remotely. And I also need to clarify something that's always asked about a Hyper-V server. So one of the questions I always get asked next is, okay, so that's the trick. If you use Hyper-V server, then you have to go buy something else to manage it. Well, that's actually not true either. You can manage it using the free Hyper-V manager, which is a part of the System Administrator Toolkit. And we deliver what we call the RSAT tools with every release of Windows Server and Windows Client. And basically, those are in lockstep. So with Server 2008, back then we shipped Vista. So we had RSAT client for Vista that would manage Hyper-V running on Server 2008. When Server 2008 R2 came out, we introduced RSAT for Windows 7. And Windows 7 has the Hyper-V manager that allows you to manage remotely running Windows Server 2008 R2 or Hyper-V Server 2008 R2. Now we've delivered Windows Server 2012, and we've released the commensurate RSAT tools for that for Windows 8 as well. So if you want, you can absolutely set up a whole bunch of Hyper-V servers, and you can manage it remotely using the free built-in RSAT tools. Now, if you want, you're certainly going to get more capabilities through System Center. For example, System Center offers, you know, the ability to do larger deployments much more at scale. It offers much more capabilities and service templates and library management and a whole swath of additional capabilities. But for a developer, for a small, medium business, for example, these can be a great solution to use Hyper-V Server and manage it remotely. So the other question I get asked about Hyper-V Server, and this is a very fundamental question, is, I don't get this, Microsoft. Why are you doing this? Why would you deliver Hyper-V for free? Why would you give this away? Well, let me kind of explain some of the key scenarios for Hyper-V Server so that it really kind of makes sense and starts to gel. Let me start with a very typical one, interoperability. So very often when we sell Hyper-V and we sell Windows Server, the most commonly deployed for virtualization is obviously Data Center Edition. And the reason why you buy Data Center Edition is because Data Center includes unlimited instances of Windows Server. So for example, if I buy a single server, or let's say I buy four servers, okay, I'm going to create a small four-node cluster, and I want to be able to run as many VMs as I want. I want to be able to fail them over. I want to be able to live migrate them over. I want to be able to move them all over the place. I'm going to buy Data Center for all four of those servers. This gives me unlimited copies of Windows Server. And this is honestly what we're seeing people deploying everywhere. They're licensing their servers for Windows Server Data Center, and it gives them the ability to run all the Windows Server they want. This is very popular. Now, let's suppose I want to run, hey, you know what? I do have this workload that requires I run Linux. So I'm going to run something like, you know, CentOS Linux. Okay, great. So you can go ahead and you can run Linux on Hyper-V. Hyper-V runs Linux just fine. In fact, Linux runs great on Hyper-V. So now I deploy a Linux VM and I run it on my Windows server. And what happens is someone will say, hey, hold on here for just a second. You know, while Linux is running on here, I bought Data Center Edition because I really wanted to be able to fully populate this server with Windows Server, and I want to take advantage of all of these Windows Server guest OS instances. So even though Linux doesn't cost me anything and I'm running it on Windows Server, Linux is using one of those virtual slots, one of those virtual licensing slots. So Microsoft, is there a way that I could run Linux on Hyper-V and not use one of those virtual licensing slots that I would use, you know, on Data Center? Well, guess what? Microsoft Hyper-V Server is perfect for that. With Microsoft Hyper-V Server, it doesn't include any guest OS instances. So let me be very clear about that. Microsoft Hyper-V Server is a free hypervisor, but it doesn't include any guests. So if you want to run Windows Server, you're still going to need to license that server for Windows Server. If you want to run Linux, then you know, make sure you're under the corresponding support, or however you're paying your vendor for Linux, or however however that's working out. But as long as it's licensed through the vendor, you can go ahead and run as much Linux as you want on top of Hyper-V Server, and that's all completely free. So now you have a great solution for running Windows Server and running Linux. So now the question becomes, well, okay, Jeff, but now I got to manage all of this. How do I manage all of this? Well, guess what? You can manage it. If it's a small installation, you could certainly do it with the Inbox free management tools, or you could use System Center. And with System Center, you can manage all of this holistically. And not only are you managing the hypervisor and the virtual machines, but you're managing all of the applications and workloads running in the VMs. That's actually a really important piece of the puzzle. So for example, I may be running SharePoint, I may be running Exchange, but if I'm also running Linux, I still want to be able to manage and monitor those workloads. Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but right now System Center is also monitoring about 20% of our workloads these days are Linux. So what we're seeing is, through a bunch of work that we've done through interoperability, OpenPegasus, and other open source types of communities and forums, System Center is being also used to manage Linux as well. So this gives us a great solution for both managing Windows Server, Windows workloads, as well as Hyper-V Server for Linux and other types of workloads. And then finally, sorry Harold, give me one more second. The other workload that makes a lot of sense to run on Hyper-V Server is VDI. So again, let me go back to licensing for just a second. If you buy Windows Server Data Center Edition, it gives you unlimited instances for Windows Server. Let me be very clear. It doesn't do anything for licensing for client. It's for Windows Server. And if you want to license Windows Client, then you're going to go through a different licensing mechanism. I'm not going to get into that today. That's something for the client guys to get into. But what happens is, if I'm going to, I certainly can run VDI instances on Windows Server. It runs great. You want to run Windows 7, you want to run Windows 8. It runs great on Hyper-V on Windows Server. But again, you may not need it. You could certainly run Windows Server Standard because, again, you know, it's going to give you a full GUI. It's going to give you all the rich interface there. But if you just want to run Microsoft Hyper-V Server, use the free hypervisor, you could certainly do that, and then you're going to license your clients anyways. So Hyper-V Server would give you that capability as well. So when we look at, you know, why people want a free hypervisor and why Hyper-V Server is a great solution, Linux and VDI are really two of the top scenarios why people want to do it. And in fact, we've seen a tremendous amount of popularity. I'll be the first one to admit we don't do a lot of marketing. We don't do a lot of discussion about the free hypervisor, but clearly people know about it. One of the things that I've been tracking for many years is I watch the download numbers for Hyper-V Server. And with Hyper-V Server 2008 R2, we've been averaging about 10,000 downloads a month over the last 12 months that it was in market. Now Hyper-V Server 2012 is in market, and that number has shot up to over 20,000 downloads a month. And this is considering this is a completely free product that we do almost no marketing on, yet people seem to know all about it. So we know Microsoft Hyper-V Server is very popular.
Yeah, and we should say, not only is it free, it's supported, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a completely supported product. I've seen some of our competitors out there trying to FUD and say, oh, it's free, Microsoft doesn't support it. No, it's completely free and it's completely supported. The other thing I should also point out, I haven't talked about this yet, is what's in there. So, for example, is this some dumbed down version of Hyper-V? Did we limit it? You know, does this only support, you know, like, you know, 32 gigs of memory? Is this limited to a certain amount of procs? Oh, does this not have live migration? You know, I mean, is this thing, you know, oh, you know, is this a version that, you know, a trial thing to get me kind of hooked in? I know the other guys do that. That's not what we do with Hyper-V Server. Let me be very clear. Hyper-V Server 2012, our completely free product, is Hyper-V. It's got it all in there. Are you looking for Team Nix? It's in there. Are you looking for storage spaces? It's in there. Are you looking for 64 virtual processors in a VM? It's in our free product. How about memory support? We support up to 4 terabytes of memory with our free product. We support up to 1 terabyte of memory in a VM with Hyper-V Server. We support all of the live migrations. Get this, folks. We have live migration. We've got shared nothing live migration. We've got live storage migration. It's all in there. Again, I know the other guys, if you look at the free version of VMware, it's got none of that. They're limited to 32 gigs of memory. They don't include any HA. They don't include live migration. They don't include, you know, I mean, they basically, it's limited all across the entire board. Hyper-V Server 2012 is fully there. It's feature rich. I should also point out it's got the full PowerShell implementation. It's got network virtualization built in. You want any of these capabilities, you can get them from, you can get some of these from VMware because it doesn't even have, Hyper-V Server offers even more than that VMware offers even in their full-on Enterprise Plus package. But if you want to get, say, 64 virtual processors from VMware, you're going to have to go buy Enterprise Plus Super Special Edition at $3,500 per processor to get 64 virtual procs. We give it to you for free in Hyper-V Server. So, you know, this is a really feature-rich version of Hyper-V Server. And again, we highly recommend people take a good look at it.
Yeah, and, you know, Jeff, I think you're right. People are confused because I think they're used to the model from our competitor, right, from VMware. Because that's where I hear most of the concerns is, oh, hold on, if it's free, is it the same? Can I only create an 8-proc, you know, virtual processor VM
yes.
with only 32
yeah.
gigs of RAM?
Yeah.
No, I don't get any of the HA, and no, it's not true, right?
No.
You clearly point that out. I get clustering.
Clustering is built in.
Clusters if I want.
That's right. Clustering is built in. We support same amount of cluster nodes and cluster scale. You can do up to a 64-node cluster and up to 8,000 VMs with our free Hyper-V server. So please don't apply the limitations of VMware to us. We're thinking about cloud in a very different way.
Oh, awesome. So, and I know, Jeff, you really, really do want your PhD in licensing. Don't kid me.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I really
So, you know, I do appreciate that you took a lot of time to really give detailed descriptions of the scenarios, how you manage it, and, you know, when it makes sense, right? VDI really makes sense to use this. Running the Linux-type platforms really makes sense. And to be honest, Windows platforms as well, right? You've said that, just making sure we have the licensing.
You know, and Harold, let me take 1 second to talk about Linux for just a second, if you don't mind. I know I'm sure. Going way over my time here, but I have to mention Linux because I think we finally dispelled most of the myths out there. I know our competition is out there trying to FUD the world, but I think we've dispelled most of the myths. But let me be very transparent about this. We've been working on interoperability as a core tenet of Hyper-V for many, many years. We've been working with the open source community, and I have to say, you know, the first, you know, way back when, it took us a little while to get our footing and to understand how best to work with the open source community, but really through a great partnership with some key individuals, for example, Greg Koa Hartman, and a number of folks, we've been contributing to the Linux kernel, and in fact, you know, if you download the latest version of Ubuntu, if you download the latest version of OpenSUSE, if you download the latest version of SUSE, CentOS, Red Hat, if you look at the latest version of the Linux kernel right out of, you know, Linus's tree, you're going to see that the Hyper-V drivers are built into Linux. So the whole goal is really transparent. We want to make sure that our customers have a great, great story. If they want to take Linux, they want it to run on Hyper-V with no fuss, no muss. You install Ubuntu or CentOS or Red Hat or OpenSUSE or SUSE Linux on Hyper-V right now. The VMs will the Linux will automatically find the right drivers, discover the right drivers, install the high-speed networking, high-speed storage, mouse integration, all of those things without you needing to do anything, without needing to install any ancillary tools or do anything. Our goal here is to make it a very easy, transparent process for our customers, and that's an ongoing commitment. We've been doing this for many, many years, and in fact, if you looked at the last annual release that came out of the Linux Foundation, you notice that Microsoft was in the top 20 for contributors to the Linux kernel. So it is a interoperability is a key facet of what we deliver. We want to make sure we've got a great cloud solution for our customers, and in fact, not only on the private cloud, But if you look at Windows Azure, you'll see that, guess what? You can go up to Windows Azure right now, and you can deploy Linux distros there as well. And that's taking advantage of the work that we've done here through Hyper-V as well. So all of this interoperability is to make sure our customers have the best experience with our cloud solutions.
No, thank you very much for pointing that out. I know that is one of the big pieces, right? Because we have done a lot of work, and people aren't aware of it. In fact, if you want to install those Linux integration components into a version of Linux that doesn't already have it built into the kernel, I mean, we are on version 3.something of our Linux integration components. So it's not like it's just come out. It's been there for multiple versions.
That's right. If you're running a modern Linux distro, that our drivers are built right in. If you're running an older one, you can still download the Linux integration services. It's a free download right off the Microsoft site, and it's a virtual CD. You insert it into the VM, and you can install the integration services into the virtual machine. But again, if you're running a modern distro, you don't even need to do that. It'll automatically find everything through plug and play. It's all there.
Awesome. So perfect. And I know we're running out of time, so hopefully we can get you for another session in the future to talk about even more topics, because there's so many questions I have to ask you. But I do want to thank you for your time today, and I want to thank everyone for joining us for this episode. So we'll talk to you again next time, and
thank you.
Thank you again.